All right, guys. I am, I'm glad to be back with you. I missed you guys on Sunday. I got to hang out with some pastor friends in Colorado. I was there with about 50, 60 other pastors from all over the state of Texas. And so I'm really good. Man, super thankful for my brother, Jens Anderson, who killed it with a difficult passage last week. Amen. So good. I knew that I was going to be out when I asked Jens to preach, and I was trying not to laugh. I was like, it's the Jerusalem Council, bro. It's the toughest chapter in the book of Acts, and he did such an amazing job. Hey, guys, this morning we're picking up where y'all left off. We're in Acts chapter 16. I want to tell you in advance, we're only going to do about half the chapter. Get used to that. We start a new series in September, so we're going to be flying, kind of picking our stories for the remainder of the book of Acts, but we're in the first half of Acts chapter 16. If you have your Bibles, I ask you to turn there. Also ask you to grab a bulletin. And if you didn't get one of these when you came in, you can scan the QR code on the screen. We want everybody to take notes. We think it's how we're changed. We think we came here because we need to hear from God. We need to learn from God. One of the best ways to learn is to pay attention, actively take notes as we listen. It makes an impact. So before we go much further, I'm going to ask you to join me in a word of prayer. We're going to slow down for a moment. And just where you are, if you'd bow your head and let's pray this simple prayer together. You start with you. Just say this simple prayer. Say, God, speak to me. God, speak to me. Take a moment now and please pray for those around you. Maybe you came to church with them. Maybe you're sitting next to somebody for the first time. Pray that same simple prayer. God, please speak to them. And then, guys, humbly, I'm going to ask this morning that you would take a moment and pray for me. And that you would ask that the Lord would speak through me to you. Father, I pray that you would be glorified this morning as we open your word and we exalt the life and the ministry of your Son, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we want to invite you into this place. That you, the word says that you're our teacher, that you're our guide, you're our counselor. You're proof that God is living in us. And Holy Spirit, we want to invite you into this place to come and teach us these things about God from the inside out, that we might be changed and transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. For everyone that's struggling, I pray that you would powerfully use your word to speak into their life today. In Jesus' name, I ask these things. Amen. Amen. Guys, if you have your Bibles, again, we're in Acts chapter 16. We're going to read the first 15 verses together, and the word of God says this. It says, Paul went on to Derbe and Lystra, where there was a disciple named Timothy, the son of a believing Jewish woman, but his father was a Greek. The brothers and sisters at Lystra and Iconium spoke highly of him. Paul wanted Timothy to go with him, so he took him and he circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, since they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled through the towns, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and the elders at Jerusalem for the people to observe. This is what Jens talked to us about last week, the Jerusalem Council, that there were certain things that the Gentiles would abstain from when they were meeting together with the Jewish brothers so that they could maintain fellowship. And it says, so the churches were strengthened in faith and they grew daily in numbers. They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia. They had been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. When they came to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and during the night, Paul had a vision in which a Macedonian man was standing and pleading with him, "Cross over to Macedonia and help us." After he had seen this vision, we, that means Luke has joined them in verse 10. We immediately made efforts to set out for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and we sailed straight to Samothrace and the next day to Neapolis and from there to Philippi, a Roman colony and a leading city of the district of Macedonia. We stayed in that city for several days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the city gate by the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and we spoke to the women gathered there, a God-fearing woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira. I want to try to say all these right if I can, was listening. The Lord opened her heart and responded to what Paul was saying. After she and her household were baptized, she urged us, "If you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. This is the word of the Lord. I want to share three things with you this morning that we could learn from these 15 verses together. Guys, and here's the first. It is that ministry, effective ministry, requires a flexible approach. Okay? Effective ministry requires a flexible approach. And if you were here last week and you heard that passage on Acts 15 and the Jerusalem Council, then no doubt, maybe you've been here longer. Maybe you've been here all the way back since we did the study in Galatians together, no other gospel. If you were here for either of those times, then there's a verse in this that probably popped off the page to you, and you're like, what? What's going on here? It's verse 3 on the screen, right? It says, Paul wanted Timothy to go with him, so he took him and had him circumcised. And you should rightfully be saying, wait a second. Wait, hold on. This is Paul who stood up against the Jews that were trying to say that you had to believe in Jesus and be circumcised. You had to believe in Jesus and follow all the dietary laws. You had to believe in Jesus and follow all the Jewish festivals. And Paul stood up to their face, which is why we had the Jerusalem Council in the first place, right? I mean, that's Acts 15, 1 and 2. Some men came down from Judea and they began to teach the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom prescribed by Moses, you cannot be saved. And after Paul and Barnabas had engaged them in serious argument and debate, Paul and Barnabas and some others were appointed to go up to the apostles and elders in Jerusalem about the issue. That's the same issue he writes the whole book of Galatians about, okay? Same thing. There's these guys that follow them around, and they're trying to tell Gentile believers, man, to be saved, you have to believe in Jesus and be circumcised. You have to believe in Jesus and you have to watch what you eat. You have to believe in Jesus and you have to celebrate all these other holidays, to which Paul would say, no! That's not the gospel. There's no other gospel than this, that we are saved by the grace of God through faith in his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, and it is not by works, right? Not by anything that we can do. We can't make ourselves good enough for God. Jesus has to do that for us, right? And so that's what's at stake. So then why on earth would this defender of grace, would this defender of the one true gospel then take his protege, young Timothy, and have him circumcised? Like, that's the question we're meant to ask. Like, Paul, what are you doing? Dude, you just stood up to their face and said, absolutely not, that's not the gospel. So why would he take Timothy and then have him circumcised? Well, the text tells us, if we look closely, verse 3, Paul wanted Timothy to go with him. So he took him in and had him circumcised, ready, because of the Jews who were in those places, since they all knew that his father was a Greek. Now listen, this isn't appeasement. He's not trying to appease the Jews, and this isn't protection for Timothy. It's not like, well, if I circumcise Timothy, they won't stone him. Hello, Paul was circumcised and they stoned him for preaching the gospel, okay? It's not that, okay? Paul wants Timothy to be effective. And part of Timothy's ministry is going to be to try to reach Jewish people for Jesus. And he knows the only way they will listen is if Timothy is circumcised, right? This is part of Paul's core belief in ministry. It should be part of our core belief in ministry. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22. Paul writes, I've become all things to all people so that I may, by every possible means, save some. Part of a bigger conversation, it starts in 1 Corinthians 9, starting in verse 19. He says, although I am free from all, and I'm not anyone's slave, I have made myself a slave to everyone in order to win more people. That's the point. That's the point. This is why we're flexible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, to win those under the law. To those who are without the law, like one without the law, though I am not without God's law, but under the law of Christ, to win those without the law. To the weak I became weak in order to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that I may, by every possible means, save some. I do all this because of the gospel so that I may share in its blessings. He goes on to say, talks about, hey, we're trying to win a race here. You get me? He says, man, I'm trying to win. And by the way, for those of you that have had some people speak theology into you, and they're like, well, wait a second. God's predestined everything. We don't win anybody. Dude, that's the guy that wrote the word predestination. He says, I become all things to all people that I might win some to Christ. He saw zero conflict. Don't let anybody guilt you over your desire to share Christ with somebody else. That is what God has ordained and saved. This is part of his plan. God has predestined everything. He has ordained things. And part of that God ordaining, part of his sovereign rule, is that he has chosen us to be the vessels for the gospel and that our lives are supposed to be spent trying to win others for Christ. We're going to come back to that. I'm going to ask you today, are you running to win? Are you even running? Right? We should be in the race. It matters, okay? So that's where we start. That's the first thing I want to share with you this morning. That principle has to apply to everything that we do, guys. Everything that we do. We hold the gospel tightly. It doesn't change, but man, our approach is better. And so you may like music a certain way. Doesn't matter. What are the lost like? Right? You may have a certain parking spot that you like to be at. Doesn't matter. Pray to the Lord. Say, hey, Lord, speak to me. Where should I park so that lost people might have better access to you, man? He'll change your parking spot, I'm telling you. All things to all people that I might win some. And that is the goal, is to win. Okay? So that's where we start. Second thing I want to share with you this morning, guys, is that closed doors are often God's ways of guiding us into new opportunities. Okay? Closed doors are often God's ways of guiding us into new opportunities. So Paul takes Timothy and he still has Silas with him, and they go out and they begin to deliver this letter from the council to all the churches. So they're saying, hey guys, here's how you have fellowship with one another. He's saying, Gentiles, man, you do these things when you're with your brothers so that we're one body. And man, the church receives it, and it says that the church continues to grow and to prosper, okay? So now listen, so that's Paul and Silas and Timothy. Then Luke joins in verse 10, and the text says that they desire to take this gospel to the Roman province of Asia, okay? The Roman province of Asia. Here's a little map, give you a little map. And so you'll see up there, Roman province of Asia, and then Bithynia up there, that is also part of that's Asia Minor. And so listen, only one problem. They want to take the gospel to the Roman province of Asia. Only one problem. Ready? God says no. He says no. And there's no explanation, by the way. I don't know if you noticed that in the text. Sometimes when God tells you no, you're trying to demand answers, aren't you? Well, why not? I don't understand. God, no explanation. He says no. Now, this is a good desire, by the way. This is a godly desire. They want to go share the gospel with people of Asia. God says no. Holy Spirit will not allow them. They had a godly desire, but God would not allow them to go. God closed the door. Why? We need to talk about that for a second, because God still closes doors on our desires today, doesn't he? Why does God do that? Why would God close a door on something that we long to do, on even something that is good? And here's the answer. Ready? God closes doors as a means of guiding us into better plans. All right? God closes doors as a means of guiding us into better plans. I don't know about you, core belief in my being, God has better plans for my life than I do. Amen? Right? Isaiah 55, God says, listen, my ways are not your ways, neither are your thoughts my thoughts. My ways are, as the heavens are higher above the earth, so are my thoughts above your thoughts. That's the scripture, by the way, that's up there. There we go. So that's there. And so listen, when we desire something, that's not the best, that's not the highest means for our life and for those around us, God will often close a door as a means of guiding us towards what is better, right? God is good. He loves you. He's a good, good father. He gives good and perfect gifts. And so when our desires are not what is best, and they often are not, God will close a door as a loving means of redirecting us to where we're supposed to go. Okay? And listen, this isn't God being mean. This isn't a negative thing. We feel that way sometimes because we think we know what's best, right? We're like, I know what's best, God, right? At this age, it's typically involves somebody of the opposite sex. You know, you're like, hey, I know what's best. That guy is so cute. I mean, he's what's best. And right, and like, I know what's best. And so when God says no, when he closes a door, we get angry. We think that God's withholding from us. But the truth of God's word is that he is good. That he is a good, good father. That he gives good and perfect gifts. That his ways are higher than our ways. That his plans are better than our plans. And so when God closes a door, it's not God being mean to you. It is not God holding out on you. It is God trying to redirect you to blessing. Amen. Trying to redirect you to what is better. A closed door isn't God being mean. A closed door is God lovingly redirecting you toward something better. A closed door is an answer to prayer. A closed door is a form of God's guidance. It's a way of him leading us into new opportunities, into better things. So, man, they long to go to the Roman province of Asia and preach the gospel, and God closes the door. And instead, the Holy Spirit gives Paul a vision of a man in Macedonia pleading for help, right? A man in Macedonia pleading for help. And so that leads us to our final point. Here it is, guys, that God often fulfills the longings of our heart as we faithfully follow his leading. God often fulfills the longing of our hearts as we faithfully follow his leading. And so I love the words of King David, Psalm 37. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to overlay Psalm 37 with this morning's text with Isaiah 55. You guys good? You follow me what we're doing? So this is scripture connecting. I think sometimes it's helpful to see the word of God fleshed out in real life in historical settings. So here's what King David writes in Psalm 37. We have a tendency to take it out of context. So I want to explain it to you today. Psalm 37, verse 4 and 5. King David writes, "Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act." Now, is David writing that that we can just ask for whatever we want? Whatever we desire, God will just give us. He's like a big vending machine in the sky. And like, I want A2. And God's like, here you go. Is that what David is writing? Absolutely not, right? I mean, just look at what he says in context there, the second half. I mean, he literally says, commit your ways to the Lord. That's part one. So I got to commit my way to the Lord. And this is then trust in him, and then he will act. It's a you do this, and then he will do that. Now, for some of you, you go, but that sounds so transactional to me. Well, guess what? There are some blessings that only come through obedience, my friends. That's the truth of God's word. And so I want you to see how this comes together. This is huge. Listen, if we will trust in God in these moments where we start to question, when God's closing doors, if we'll trust in God that his plans are better, amen? God, I trust you. If this isn't what you have for me, you've got something better for me. And then if we'll commit our ways to him, when he begins to open another door and we say, well, God, that's not what I had in mind, but if that's what you have for me, I am all in. That means we give ourselves to his way, to his course. It says, then he will do this. Then he will give us what we long for, the desires of our heart. So let's look at this fleshed out in the life of Paul. Paul longs to share the gospel in the Roman province of Asia. God says no, and he sends him instead to Europe. All right? So he sends him into Macedonia. He's going to go to Europe. He's going to end up in Philippi. Can we go back to the map? I know that's way out of order. Okay, so he's going to send him over into the Roman province of Europe. That's Macedonia, and then he's going to work his way down to Philippi. And there, when he gets to Philippi, he meets this woman on the Sabbath. Her name is Lydia. This is verse 14. God-fearing woman named Lydia, dealer in purple cloth, and she is from the city of Thyatira. Okay, this is crazy. All right, so follow me here. Paul's heart's desire is to preach the gospel to people from Asia, right? God says no. He closes the door. He calls him instead to Europe. He ends up in Philippi on the Sabbath preaching the gospel to a woman named Lydia. By the way, she and her whole family received the Lord. She is from a city called Thyatira. Guess where that's located? Asia. Asia. God closed the door. Paul's desire was to go and preach the gospel to Asia. God closed the door. He opened another one in Europe. Paul committed his way to the Lord. And what did the Lord do? He gave Paul the desire of his heart. By the way, eventually a thriving church is established in Thyatira. We don't know how it got there. We really don't. Some suspect it's because of this very meeting between Paul and Lydia. All we know is it's one of the seven churches that Jesus speaks to in the book of Revelation chapter 2. Pretty stinking cool, right? Amen. Pretty stinking cool. So what do we do with all that? It's a lot. Short little period of time. I want to give you some application this morning. I want to challenge you a little bit. And first and foremost, I want to start here. I want to challenge you to commit yourself to God's way. To commit yourself to God's way. And I'm going to talk about a few things. Number one, I want to talk to you. If you're here and you're not a believer in Jesus, that means that you have been trying to do things your own way. The Bible says that there is a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end it leads to death. And here's why. That's not God being mean. Here's why. God's standard for having a relationship with him is not good. That's a pretty low bar, okay? So we're like, well, I'm good enough. No, God's standard isn't good. The Bible says God is holy, holy, holy. He's perfect. That's the standard, okay? So there may be a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end it leads to death, because what seems right to us is to try to make ourselves good enough for God, not knowing that the standard for a relationship with God, the bar is not good. It's perfection. And so every person in life that tries to make themselves good enough for God, or tries to just learn enough about God, every person that seeks some other way other than the one single way he has provided through faith in his one and only Son, every other person, it says, that leads to death. And maybe you're here and you've been trying all those other ways. And you know, you're exhausted. You don't feel any closer to God. You're tired. You're walking around with guilt and shame. And listen, man, there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Come to God's one and only solution. So commit yourself to his way. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. How can he say that? Because he's the only perfect person to ever live, who willfully chose to die on the cross for our sins in order to make a payment on our behalf. So if you were going to go to God's spiritual bank and look up your account, if you don't have faith and trust in Christ, if you haven't trusted him, and you went to God's spiritual bank and said, hey, what does my account look like? And the spiritual banker would say, brother, you are overdrawn, and there is no way that you can make up this debt. But if you put your faith and trust in Jesus, and you were going to go to that same spiritual banker and say, can you show me my account? They would say, you have all of the riches of God's glory. All of them. And they can never be taken away. You're like, what? That matters. That matters. So start there, man. Commit yourself to God's way. God's way is faith and trust in his one and only Son, Jesus. Okay? For some of you, you've already accepted Jesus, but you've never been baptized. Man, you have never surrendered to believer's baptism. We've got three people back in the back porch. You're learning about baptism right now. We have a ton of people on a waiting list. Like, listen, man, what are you waiting for? Commit yourself. This is God's way. It says, repent and be baptized. When we put our faith and trust in Christ, we should be baptized. Talk to a prayer partner today. That matters. Some of you, though, listen to me. God has closed doors for you. And instead of saying, God, what else do you have for me? What's your better plan? You just keep banging your head against that same closed door, don't you? I know it. I'm one of you. Open it! Come on, God! What? What's the deal? Why are you holding out on me? God's not holding out on you. He's holding you back from destruction. You following me? If God's closed the door, your response should not be to try to beat it down. Your response should be, okay, Lord, what's your better plan? What's your better plan? And then commit to that way. Some of you today, you need to commit yourself to what's next, okay? I love you. I love you. I love you. You need to commit yourself to God's better way. Okay, number two, and there's only a second one. There's no third application. Here we go this morning. Ready? I want to challenge you to run to win. My sister is not here. I think she's in the back. Erin's running around doing some stuff. She has a little phrase with her youth leaders. I love it. It's sprint till you die. Man, like we talk about it all the time in ministry. Like we're like, man, we're just slammed and we're going back into another season. We're slammed. And then guess what? Next week we're going to be slammed. And the month after that, we're going to be slammed. Guess what? That's ministry. Sprint till you die, right? Until Jesus takes me home, my job is to win. It's not to sit on the sidelines. It's not to cheer. My job is to win. And so what do? I beat my body. I make it my slave. I become all things to all people that I might win some to Christ. Y'all, I spent like 6 hours on airplanes this week talking to people about Jesus. The pastor with me, he's like, what's going on? He kept trying to have conversations like, God's closing doors. Everybody wants to tell me their whole life story, right? And so, man, whether it's Rachel or Tetsy or the two boys, that one's going to A&M, one's going to Auburn, and man, they asked me every question on the show. I'm like, I was a little tired. Like, that was supposed to be me time. God's like, nope, it's me time, bro. That's how it works. We run to win. We run to make heaven crowded. This is why we still have breath in our lungs. Listen to me, life is about more than our football and volleyball and soccer and baseball. It's more than about sitting on a lake and fishing. Those things are great. Dude, they're great. I got to fly fish this week. It was amazing. We should all go do it together. It's great. Okay? We need a guide because I can't tie those stupid things on. Okay, but it's great. And it's okay if we have those moments. But we exist to make Jesus known. That's it. I don't know where you are right now. But if you're not sprinting, then we're off course. You follow me? We run to do what? To win. Paul, God's predestined all things. And then with the same language, he says, so I become all things to all people that I might win some. To Christ. Let's run to win. Amen. All right. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. We're going to dim the lights. Don't let it freak you out. Our prayer partners are going to take their places around the sanctuary. Maybe this morning God has put something on your heart. Maybe you need to finally surrender your life to God's plan, to His way. His way is Jesus. And maybe you've never done that, and they're going to be here for that. Maybe you're one of those Christians, you've been banging, God's closed the door, and you keep banging your head against it, and you've felt like God's being mean. He's not being mean, but you need to process that with a brother or sister this morning, and there's going to be people available. Tammy, my folks in the back, can y'all come up in the front so people can see you? And I know I've got some people in the back. I've got Jeff. I need one more up front here, Tammy. John, you can stay back there. That's awesome. So, man, I just want to make sure there's people here for you to pray with, so that matters. Hey, I'm going to ask for a favor this morning. Every week we want to make sure that there's an opportunity for people that have come to hear about Jesus and have an opportunity to receive Him. So where you are, if you'd bow your heads for one moment, close your eyes. If you're here today and you're one of those people I was talking about, you've tried every other way. You've tried every other way, and this morning you heard there's a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end it leads to death, and you go, yep, that's me. That's the path I'm on. But today you heard that God loves you in spite of yourself, and that Jesus has come to provide a different way, a different path by which you can be made a child of God. If that's you today, and today you would say, I need to get off the path I'm on, and I need to trust Jesus, would you just raise your hand where you are? Just raise it nice and high. Nobody in the room is looking around. I'm peeking, okay? I got somebody in the back for sure. Got a couple. If you keep those hands up, the lights, I know y'all can't see them. They are very bright in my eyes. So I see a couple here. Man, if that's you, if you'll just take a look at me, I just want to see you for a second. I'm not going to embarrass you. Thank you so much. So here's how we do this, guys. There's nothing magical about what I'm about to pray. When I accepted Jesus, I prayed. It wasn't a churchy prayer. I said, God, I'm tired. Take control of my life. It was that simple. And so there's some elements to that, just that I realize that I can't do it, that I need him, and that I surrender my life to him. And so, church, we don't want them to feel alone this morning. We want to pray with them. And so let's pray out loud, because God is raising you up to go out and to be ministers of reconciliation. Every person that attends FBCE should know how to lead somebody else to a personal relationship in Christ through prayer. All right? So let's pray out loud with them right now. Okay? You that raised your hand said, I want a relationship with God, just from the depths of your heart. Let's cry out to God together this simple prayer. Say, Dear God, I come to you right now, and I want to confess I am broken, and I'm tired, and I'm sick of all these other ways. Today, Jesus, I turn my life to you. Come into my life and take control. Make me yours. Forgive me of my sin, and make me a child of God. I love you. Teach me from this day how to live for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.